Immersive cultural enrichment on board and on shore. Freshly prepared regional cuisine. Viking sails the rivers of the world and takes travelers to the heart of iconic destinations. Discover more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Lacob, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. The first season of Unforgotten brought a neat, somber close to a long-forgotten missing persons case as our detectives solved a murder and allowed a grieving mother to finally lay her beloved son to rest. As this week's stunning season 2 finale shows, not all cold case investigations can be wrapped up in a neat and tidy bow.
The sort of things that people like Lynn Paxton did, they're still affecting people today, catastrophically.
It ruins
whole lives, okay?
DCI Cassie Stewart cracked the case, that's true. She uncovered Sarah, Colin, and Marion's secret murderer's cabal and confronted the three of them in a pub at the end of the episode to let them know all that she knows.
So you might put me in prison, but let me tell you this. You can't judge me unless you've had it done to you. I won't ever, ever let anyone judge me for what I did.
And that's where the case and the season ends. Cassie and Sonny walk away from David Walker's murder, knowing that while they could perhaps bring the case to trial, real human justice requires that they don't. Sarah, Colin, and Marion have already suffered enough. The pain they endured at the hands of their abusers is ultimately more than enough punishment for murder.
I think sitting there and listening to those stories, I think it broke something in her.
Actor Nicola Walker was just as surprised by Unforgotten writer Chris Lang's second season finale as many viewers.
I see the end as something surprisingly realistic and pretty subversive of Chris to have written for a TV drama. And I was really surprised when I read it. It wasn't what I expected at all. It's a very human reaction from Cassie, and Sonny agrees with her. But what I found really interesting is it wasn't what I expected Cassie to do. She's such a good police officer. I thought that somewhere she would go by the book, she would go down the correct route. And I found it fascinating that this time she says, well, it's only me. You know, I'm the only one that knows. The more I thought about it, the more sense it made. Because I think Cassie knows that this case would probably never come to court. The evidence is not there. If she hadn't walked into that pub, none of it would have ever come out. It is a huge thing for her to do because she's the only one carrying the information. Personally, I think it's the right thing to do. If she was ever found out, it's certainly not legal.
Walker's co-star, Sanjeev Bhaskar, was just as floored by Lang's ending.
When I read the finale of season 2, it absolutely blew my mind. I thought it was such a clever, unexpected twist for me. You know, we're geared, I think, towards, traditionally with the crime dramas, to having a culprit, you know, to having a perpetrator. Yet, I had not seen this particular storyline. I think that idea of a group of people who had been abused in some way deciding to kill each other's abusers, I thought was brilliant. And I really did not see it coming at all.
The choice to knowingly drop the case is all Cassie's, as is the meaningful discussion of private retribution for a lifetime's experience in a failed criminal justice system.
I think their whole lives have been one long, indescribably brutal punishment. And I just can't see why we would punish them further. I can't see who would benefit.
You know, what it does is elevate Unforgotten to something that I find really, really interesting. It makes you have a conversation about justice, serving justice, and what that means, and, you know, who is being served justice. And I love that he's having that conversation through a police procedural cop show.
Sonny and Sanjeev had a harder time giving Cassie the space to break the rules so flagrantly.
Sonny and I kind of also think, well, we have rules. And I think that society falls apart unless we all sign up to those rules. I mean, it's no one's above the law. I mean, and no one should be above the law, whether you're kind of, you know, a bum or a down and out, or, dare I say it, the president. I mean, you know, anybody, you know, nobody should be above the law. I mean, the law is there for all of us. It's to make us equal. It's to make society equitable. So in that sense, I would have to go with Sonny, which he ultimately says, look, I'll back you whatever you do. But I think that, you know, that you can't, even though the abuse is horrible and it's terrible, I don't think you should be able to get away with killing somebody.
A brief word from our sponsors.
The Great Lakes, the Arctic and Antarctica, iconic destinations around the world. Viking offers opportunities for discovery with a shore excursion in every port. Learn more at viking.com.
Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. In a show where nothing hidden stays buried forever, there's a definite possibility this stunning decision will come back to haunt Cassie and Sonny in the upcoming third season of Unforgotten, which is currently in production.
It does hang over us. It hangs over the characters, and it hangs over their relationship a little bit. Obviously, we're back for season three, so we kind of got away with it. So we were morally right. The moral victory was ours. The Pyrrhic victory was ours. So we're certainly back. But yeah, it does. Something like that is a game changer. You know, it's, you know, if you've got an old friend who then does something that you think is reprehensible and indefensible, you have two choices. You can either stop being friends with them. If you remain friends with them, you factor what you've just learned about them into your friendship. And I think that that is very much the case with the decision that Cassie makes. And Sonny makes, because Sonny basically says to her, he will back her. You know, their relationship is important enough, and he understands her point enough to say, I'll just back you. And she says, well, no, I'd do this on my own. So, yeah, I think that it does hang over them, and I think it does hang over season three.
I think that it's hard for somebody like Cassie to live with that. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there are ramifications for that decision she made in that cafe.
One element that won't hang over Cassie and Sonny's heads next season is their foolish, drunken bar kiss.
You know, there are very many different kinds of love. And he's just got a little bit confused in the pub, and she knows that. She's always going to absolutely adore him. But as long as he never, you know, as long as he never does that again, he's just embarrassing everybody.
For Bhaskar, the moment was a bit more complex than all that.
That was a really interesting moment for me, actually, because that was, if there was one scene I had more questions about and more meetings about, it was that one. Because initially I thought, are we setting up a sort of, you know, Bruce Willis, Sybil Shepherd thing here? Is this going to be a will they, won't they, should they, shouldn't they? Which I, you know, I wasn't too keen on. And also I think that, I think the explanation that I certainly bought into, and I believe was the case, was that these were two people who you know, were working under a great deal of pressure, and particularly in season two, that storyline, you know, affects them both because they have kids. And particularly Sonny gets affected by the fact that, you know, there's now child abuse involved. And they're both lonely. He's going on his Tinder dates, you know, she's kind of on her own. She doesn't have anybody. So there's that side of it, which is there are two people that they absolutely love each other and respect each other and admire each other, though they are co-workers. There was that part of it, that element of it, that led to the kind of almost kiss. And it also proved that, you know, they could weather that kind of mini storm, that kind of embarrassment. Their relationship was long enough to go beyond that.
For now, Walker and Bhaskar are keeping their lips sealed about what lies ahead in the upcoming third season of Unforgotten, lest they spoil a pivotal plot twist or an unexpected clue.
It's something that happened a number of years ago, but it's very different. And the people we're dealing with are from very different backgrounds to some of our cases before. And you get to spend a long time with the suspects. It's got a different rhythm this year. You really get to know the suspects' families very, very well this year. I mean, I'm literally scared to say very much about it, but it's very good.
No matter what unsolved murder Cassie and Sunny find themselves solving next season, we'll be sure to hear about all the messy details behind the scenes on Masterpiece Studio. Coming up next on Masterpiece Studio, we'll talk to the talented young actors Annis Elway and Willa Fitzgerald, who play Beth and Meg March in the ongoing Masterpiece adaptation of Louisa May Alcott's Little Women. After a sobering series finale, we'll hear how the cast created a real sense of family feeling on the set. Watch for that conversation in your podcast feeds this Sunday, May 20th, following the special 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central broadcast of the Little Women finale. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Alicia Baitoup is our editor. Suzanne Simpson is our executive producer. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Rebecca Eaton. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises and the Masterpiece Trust.